spell your last name.
It's Karen Tusack, T-U-S-A-C-K.
Thank you. And Karen, I did the, it might have been with you last time that I forgot to turn on the microphone before we started, so I need to do the introduction again. So April 24th, 2014, this is an interview with Karen Tusack. My name is Troy Reeves with the UW Mass and Oral History Program, and this is a phone interview. So Karen, there were a couple of things you recalled after we did the interview in April that I want to give you some space to talk about. The first was, and I guess it just happened a little over 2 years ago, the Comets Distance Learning SIG.
Right.
So first, let's define a couple of our terms. So what is Comets and what is a SIG?
Comets is the Community of Educational Technology Support Personnel on campus. I would guess now it's been around for about 10 years. It's everyone who does educational technology support at UW-Madison. And within that umbrella group, we have special interest groups. Those are six special interest groups, such as, I'm blanking out here. Designing classrooms is one special SIG, or learning spaces, designing learning spaces. Another SIG was Moodle, and then that became the Moodle Council, which is another thing I wanted to talk about. And do you want me to talk about the SIG that I started?
Yeah, let's talk about the distance learning SIG right now, and maybe we'll talk some more about the other stuff.
The genesis of it was I was at an annual distance teaching and learning conference that's put on at Monona Terrace every year. And I was there in August 2011, and I had been going for a couple of years, and I had kept on waiting for UW-Madison to come up to speed on distance learning. There just wasn't that much going on. There was in the professional schools and Division of Continuing Studies, and I knew the library school had some distance, but they were all geared towards adult learners who were out in the world working already. And the big thrust of distance education had been for on-campus students at this conference that I was at. So I thought, it made me a little nervous because UW-Madison was not up to speed on that, and I knew we weren't, at least in the support personnel, we weren't. And I thought, we've got to get some training. What can we do about this? And I just happened to be talking to Alan Wolf, a colleague, at one of the breaks, and he said, well, maybe a first start is to get in touch with Comets and find out if they want to start a distance ed SIG. And so that's exactly what I did. I worked with the chair of the steering committee of Comets, and he thought it was a great idea, so we formed it. And the purpose of the SIG was to share the knowledge that was on campus already about distance courses. And as being support people, we were more interested not so much in the pedagogy, but in the hows and how much it costs and how do you run it and how do you register people and nuts and bolts like that. So at the time, being sandwich generation, my mother had become very ill, and I thought, if I'm going to be called out of town for a long amount of time, I still want this to get off the ground. So I enlisted the help of Catherine Stevens from the School of Education and Alan Ng from the Division of Continuing Studies, asked them if they wanted to be co-chairs with me of this new SIG, and they said yes, thankfully. And so we put together a startup meeting and invited everybody we could think of that might have any interest in distance ed courses. The startup meeting was February 21st, 2012, and I remember that date because in a cruel twist of fate, my mother passed away during the first meeting. And so I'm so glad that I had Alan and Catherine there to help me with that first meeting.
So Karen, I'm just gonna hop in. Were you at the meeting when you found out your mom had passed away? Did you attend that first meeting then?
I got a text in the middle of the meeting, but I did not read the text until after the meeting, thank goodness. So we got through the first meeting. About 25 to 30 people came to that first meeting. We were surprised and pleased that there was so much interest. And in fact, there was so much interest that we had a meeting every 2 weeks after that. And we had speakers lined up for a couple months in advance who all wanted to talk about what they had done for distance ed, what they were doing, what the problems that they had solved. It was very gratifying. There was so much interest in it. I tried to get and was successful, at least, in getting DeWitt's Academic Technology interested enough in the training part of it that they invited people from Milwaukee who had a whole program for bringing faculty up to speed for teaching at a distance. And so we had a workshop that summer, the following summer. And as far as I know, it's still going strong. I don't know who the chairs are now, but that was one of the things that I was very glad I did. I got to do.
Mm-hmm. Did you serve as chair, co-chair during?
I was chair until I retired last September.
So thank you for that. The other thing you wanted to talk about is your service on the Moodle Council.
Oh,
so again,
Moodle Council. Yeah.
Defining our terms, just in case, you know, we don't know who's going to listen to this and when. What's a Moodle?
Moodle is a piece of software that is like Learn at UW. It's a content management system, or some would call it a course management system. The thing about Moodle, though, is it was designed by instructors, and it's very interactive. It has modules that are very interactive for students. So the School of Engineering used it heavily. They used it almost exclusively. I don't think that any other people use Learn at UW. And it's not only good for distance ed courses, but also for just in-class courses, for being able to flip the classroom, as they say. So the Moodle Council was actually started, it was a grassroots effort. School of Engineering and School of Ed was using one, and Letters and Science were that I worked in. We had a small Moodle instance. It was only about, I think at maximum it was 20 courses who were using it. The chairs, our chair of Learning Support Services and Paul Oliphant, School of Engineering, the School of Business was heavily into it, all got together and formed a Moodle Council so that they could share their expertise in running this piece of software, configuring it. It was highly customizable. You could write your own modules to put into it, and School of Engineering was doing that. After a while, it became apparent that it would be very beneficial if we could have, instead of each school or division having their own Moodle server, if we could have one large Moodle server that served the entire campus community, just like Learn at UW serves the whole campus community. It took a lot of work. We had to come up with, I guess you'd call it a business plan. It had to be approved at many different levels. It had to be funded. We had to find the funding for it. And it finally all came together. We started the campus Moodle service. Let me think. It might have been the fall of 2011 was the pilot. Or maybe, well, anyway, it started then. And we moved all of our courses from our own Moodle server onto the, it was called the Enterprise Moodle. And that's still going, too. It meant that we had to do a lot of training. We had to do a lot of documentation. The School of Engineering had put together many, many, many help documents on DeWitt's help system, online help, the knowledge base that they have for help. And those all had to be rewritten, so I took part in that. I did the transformation of all of LNS's courses onto the Enterprise Moodle, which took about a whole summer, took almost a whole summer to do that. And I went to all the meetings. I was on the council itself. Our chair didn't have time to do those kind of things anymore, so he appointed me as the voting member. So that was my involvement in that, and I hope Moodle continues on because it's a great learning tool.
Thank you, Karen. I'm going to try to get an answer to this question by asking it this way. At the end of our first interview, you talked about enjoying working with faculty, mm-hmm. and that's, I'm guessing, a one-on-one relationship. And then these two things that you talked about are very much a group or a committee structure. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering what you see as the difference personally, or what skills did you use perhaps, or different skills you used when working one-on-one with a faculty and then working in a committee structure?
I think for myself, working one-on-one with faculty was more creative, and that's why I enjoyed it so much. It was, you got to think outside of the box. Plus, I find faculty very creative people, too. The organizational work, the committee work that I did, I'm a very organized person. And I think if you, as I did, go to school and get a degree in library science, I think you're drawn to organization by nature. And I think that satisfied my part, the part of me that likes to organize things and push things forward in an organization. You can't do that alone. You have to have buy-in from a lot of people to push things forward, like gearing up for distance ed courses. That's not something you can do by yourself. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. But just to make sure I get at this. So it sounds like to me from that answer that, if you want to look at your brain in sort of two halves,
right.
Working with faculty allowed your creative juices, while working in committee allowed your, I wouldn't say uncreative by any means, but more organizational or structural needs.
Right.
Does that sound? Am I paraphrasing that right?
Yes.
Okay. Karen, as I said, I have a couple more questions. So you talked last time about how the internet changed, everything. And I'm wondering if there were points, post-internet where you reflected upon your early years thinking, geez, I wish we could do things that way again?
Yeah, somewhat. The frustrating thing about the technology was suddenly instant results became very, very important. It bothered me that the communication, even in our small department, which, you know, there were 13 of us in the whole department, and yet communication was always done online. And nobody picked up a phone to call somebody to talk about something. It was almost all done online, and I missed the interpersonal interaction, face-to-face, kind of. So I kind of wish that part of it, that we didn't have people who wanted an instant answer to an email question.
And you worked on campus for a long time. and I don't mean that in a bad way, just this question is might not be easy to answer, but I like to ask people what sort of things would happen in a typical day. So I wonder if you want to maybe perhaps answer that, looking at more recently, sort of post-internet or in the digital era, what your days were like. Let's start there.
Okay. Well, the morning always started with answering the emails that came in the night before. It might concern a problem with a Moodle course. It might concern somebody wanting to know how to digitize a slide, 500-piece slide collection they had, whole range of things. And so I'd be answering that. Usually have one or two committee meetings, either outside the department or inside the department a day. So it meant trekking across campus. Since I was still doing one-on-one faculty work, there was usually some problem to solve. A typical thing would be like a professor who was using Blogger for an online journal for her students to contribute to, but she was having trouble with certain parts of the style sheet so that it wouldn't display right in every browser, and I'd have to go in and look at the HTML code to find out what was going wrong there. I would probably meet with my colleagues, have some brief meetings about, we had an online course in Learn at UW about teaching online, and there were different modules, and we would meet about what needs to be worked on that online course, or about publicity for, we regularly would have brown bags for faculty to come to, and we would tell them about the latest and greatest that we that they wanted to know about. Let's see, what else? There was a lot of coordination. We ran we had a media library. Huge collection of DVDs, and also we had a lot of digitized audio online. And so weekly, that needed to be added to as instructors added things. And I would have to go in and password protect all of the materials because we were very careful about copyright. There were professional journals to read. There were things to proofread that were going up on our own website. or things to write that were going up on our own website. What else would a typical day bring? More emails, tons of emails.
Mm-hmm. Karen, can I now ask the follow-up to that? You started with emails and ended with emails.
Yeah.
What differences, besides the fact that there was an email, would a typical day be, you know, pre-internet, pre-technology, well, not technology so much, but pre-digital, pre-internet age?
We spent a lot more time preparing materials. That's the initial impression that I can remember. We had VHS, and we would have instructors who taught film courses that wanted 100 students to watch a movie. How do you do that except by making multiple copies of it? Or we would put it into into a loop. We would run it all day on this one TV in the lab, and people would come and sit in 5 chairs around it and watch it all day long. It would just be on a loop. But mostly, we spent a lot of time copying materials, duplicating cassettes, things like that. We spent a lot of time with materials. I spent a lot more time in the media library doing that kind of thing. We also spent a lot more time in workshops. For some reason, once the internet became popular, and I think instructors, instead of saying, "Oh, LSS has a introduction to PowerPoint workshop for 2 to 3 hours one day," I'll just go up on the web and find out what I need to know from there. And they were able to do that. But prior to that, all of the instruction came from us. All of the help came from us. So we ran a helpline, which was like a hotline, that any instructor in LNS could call during the day and get their answers immediately. We were able to stop that once the internet came in, because it just wasn't being used very much. Same with workshops. They didn't want to take 2 to 3 hours of their day out to sit in a room in a workshop. So those are the kinds of things that, you know, I'm just thinking, it's not that they just didn't use the telephone anymore. Now they email their whole questions. Mm. That was the difference.
Mm-hmm. So there wasn't a need for a phone help desk. It all just came.
Exactly, because it was all coming in. So I think we did less face-to-face with our clients after the internet became popular. Before that, it was much more face-to-face.
I wanted to ask one more thing, and that's, again, you were on campus for a good chunk of time, and I'm wondering, what sort of actual spaces on campus did you like to either visit or relax at or eat at and or just enjoy spending time at?
Mm. Well, the terrace, of course. That's got to be number one for everybody. When Reed Gilgan was chair, we used to regularly have what he called Babcock seminars. During the summer, we used to all walk down to Babcock and have ice cream, almost to the entire staff. So that was another fun thing. I really enjoyed, for a while before I had to have knee surgery, I really enjoyed walking the lakeshore path on my lunch hour. That was wonderful. I miss that because I don't get to do that as often.
Okay. So Karen, mm-hmm. I want to give you space in case the last 20, 4 or 5 minutes or so sparked anything else about your time on campus that you want to make sure we get on the record. So do you have any final thoughts?
Other than it really was a wonderful place to work, beautiful place to work. I don't think that when you're in it that you realize that until you have to make a point of visiting after you're gone. It was beautiful. The other thing that I would say is what struck me when we were talking about my mom passing away during the first meeting was that when she became ill, work seemed too important to leave. And I have a different perspective now. I think I would have taken a leave to go be with her in San Diego. And that's kind of difficult to see, too, when you're in the middle of it. That she, you know, was not expected to pass away that quickly. And so it was kind of a shock. But I think if I had to do it over again, I would push for a leave and go and be with her. It's just funny what kind of perspective you have when you're not in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Karen, anything else?
I can't think of anything, no.
Okay. Well, feel free, as you did last time, to, you know, if something pops up, to send me an email. We'll either talk again, or I'll print it off and add it to the file.
Okay.
So, Karen, one last thing. So are you fine with me just adding an addendum to the release form saying that we talked today and you're fine with having today's interview released to the public too?
Sure.
Okay. That makes it just a little bit easier than mailing a release form back and forth. So, Karen, thank you very much for your time today, and hopefully we'll get to talk again soon.
Yeah. Thanks, Troy.
Okay, bye-bye.